Good morning again. It's wonderful to see all of you. Ellen, you snuck in. We did pray for you this morning. It's so good to see you and all of you. In the darkest of days and nights of the year, we turn our hearts toward our Lord's promised light. May God's mercy watch over each of us and give us strength to make the changes we need as we walk the path of mercy. We will be reading from Malachi and Philippians this morning to learn that we need to free ourselves from any chains that bind us. You know, that stuff that holds us down. We need help. We need the help of our Lord to get through that and to focus on the light. We can trust that God will bring to completion the good works that he has begun in each and every one of us. I'm reading from Malachi 3, verses 1 through 4. See, I am sending my messenger to prepare the way before me, and the Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to his temple. The messenger of the covenant in whom you delight indeed. He is coming, says the Lord of hosts. But who can endure the day of his coming, and who can stand when he appears? For he is like a refiner's fire and like fuller's soap. He will sit as a refiner and purifier of silver, and he will purify the descendants of Levi and refine them like gold and silver until they present offerings to the Lord in righteousness. Then the offering of Judah and Jerusalem will be pleasing to the Lord as in the days of old and as in former years. Malachi, known as the messenger in the year 400 BC, shared as those who were believers of the time were becoming very apathetic toward God. As much as God loved them, they continued to ask questions. Worshiping the Lord became more of a chore for them, and the value of God's love was becoming devalued. He warned that they should stop distorting God's word. It had become acceptable for people to wander away from Jesus, to have affairs on their loved ones, to tell lies, to cheat. Malachi told them of this coming Messiah, teaching that the people needed to be prepared for his coming. Malachi shared of his prophesied messenger, the prophesied messenger that would help to prepare the way of the Lord would be John the Baptist. John the Baptist knew that the Lord indeed was coming. He prepared all who would listen by teaching and leading them to repentance in God's mercy. Repentance is the very act of turning away from sin and turning back to God. Believers would feel his mercy, and they would feel his love as the mercy washed over them. He shared about the awesomeness and the terribleness of the times. It will not be a time of destroying, but it would be a time of cleansing. John the Baptist encouraged finding rest and giving thanks for the state that they were in at that moment. Those who were able to focus and worship the Lord were able to notice the small miracles in everyday life. Isn't that a gift to all of us? Noticing the small miracles? The light switch, the light that went on when you switched your light on this morning. Mm-hmm. The voice that springs forth when we sing. The color of the sky. Yes, everybody. The color of the sky. Whatever you see in the sky. This church. Marion back in her chair, in her pew. Ellen's smile. We're able to see joy and love and mercy in the small things. Can you add to this list?
What?
Everyone, say it again.
Flannel sheets.
Flannel sheets. The point that you opened your eyes this morning. Being able to walk. Those who are able to focus on the Lord notice the small miracles of life every day. Things that happen according, things will happen according to His plan. We know that God is in control. He does not change. He loves us all so very much. John Kerson, Pastor John, wrote, "I am glad the Lord is not like me. He is not moody or quick to anger. He is dependable. God is patient. He is not approving of our sins, and He is very patient." Oh, thank you, Lord, that you are not like me. Right? Amazing. He is patient. He is merciful. Within the Bible, mercy is defined beyond forgiveness and withholding punishment. God shows His mercy to those who are tormented through the healing, the comforting, the alleviation of suffering, and the caring for those who are in distress. Grace is showing kindness to those who do not deserve it. The ones that say mean things about your faith, about your job, about your family. Oh, it hurts. Are we able to forgive? Are we able to shine as God's light? Grace is mercy in action. Mercy and grace are usually received when the sinful person does not usually expect it, as we cannot earn it and we cannot buy it. It is a gift. I'll be reading from Paul's prayer in Philippians 1, verses 3 to 11. Philippians 1, 3 to 11. "I thank my God every time I remember you, constantly praying with joy in every one of my prayers for all of you, because of your sharing in the gospel from the first day until now. I am confident of this, that the one who began a good work among you will bring it to completion by the day of Jesus Christ. It is right for me to think that way about all of you, because you hold me in your heart. For all of you share in God's grace with me, both in my imprisonment and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel. For God is my witness, how I long for all of you with the compassion of Jesus Christ." I'm going to pause. How I long for all of you with the compassion of Jesus Christ. Imagine if our world was made up of people with that notion, that thought, a heart filled with compassion, just as Jesus loved us. It'd be a different world. "And this is my prayer, that your love may overflow more and more with knowledge and full insight to help you to determine what is best, so that in the day of Christ you may be pure and blameless, having produced the harvest of righteousness that come through Jesus Christ for the glory and the praise of God." There are times for seeds to grow that involve disturbing or agitating the soil, breaking up the places that have become hardened and compacted. We accept God's mercy when we believe in Jesus, God's Son, who died for our sins. Our hearts become less hardened when we choose to follow Jesus, when we listen and learn from Him. This is such a blessing to each of us. We receive His unconditional forgiveness. We receive the greatest gift of all, salvation. 2 Corinthians 1, verse 3 reads, God is our merciful Father and the source of all comfort. God's ultimate act of grace and mercy is an example of how we are to extend grace to others. When we show mercy, we reveal godliness. For he is the source of mercy. Anything good in our lives is from God's merciful hands. His mercy toward us will last for all eternity. Lamentations 3, verses 22 and 23. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. Every morning, wake up, recognize the grace and the mercy and the love and the gifts that Jesus gives us every day. I'm going to repeat Philippians 1, verse 6. I am confident of this, that the one who began a good work among you will bring it to completion by the day of Jesus Christ. When we fully understand the gift of God's grace and mercy upon each of us, we desire to grow and to become more like Jesus. It's not about us. How can we become more like Jesus? This is a story that most of you have heard before, and it was written up in by Claire Bruce. So I'm going to hop between what she has written and the story that I can recall. In Texas, a few years ago, a female police officer was going home to her apartment. She went into the wrong apartment, and she shot the person that was in his apartment. The case attracted a lot of media attention. Amber Geiger was the police officer, and Botham Jean was the gentleman that was sitting in his own apartment. The police officer instinctively reacted, shooting him as all police officers have been trained to do. And during the trial, the defendant's attorney made the controversial move to try to use the defense known as the Castle Doctrine, which protects people who defend themselves in their own home. They were trying to give excuse after excuse after excuse as to why this police officer might shoot someone in their own home. It was a very sad situation. And while an angry crowd protested against the police officer outside the courtroom, inside, an incredible scene of forgiveness and reconciliation was unfolding. 18-year-old Barnt Jean, the younger brother of Botham, spoke to Geiger from the witness stand, saying, I love you as a person, and I don't wish anything bad on you. I don't want to say twice or for the 100th time what you or how much you have taken from us. I think you know that, he said. And he went on to urge the police officer to ask God for forgiveness. And he went on to ask her to give her life to Christ. I think giving your life to Christ would be the best thing that Botham would want you to do. I love you as a person, and I don't want anything bad to happen to you. But I just hope. I hope you go to God with all the guilt, all the bad things you may have done in the past. Each and every one of us has done something that we're not supposed to do. If you truly are sorry, I know I can speak for myself. I forgive you. And I know if you go to God and ask him, he will forgive you. And I don't think anyone can say it. Again, I'm speaking for myself and not on behalf of my family, but I love you just like anyone else. I'm not going to say, I hope you rot and die. not going to say, I hate you for what you did to my brother. I personally want what is best for you. And I wasn't ever going to say this in front of my family or anyone, but I don't even want you to go to jail. I want the best for you because I know that's exactly what my brother would want for you. And the best would be for you to give your life to Christ. I'm not going to say anything else. I think giving your life to Christ would be the best thing, and my brother would want you to do it. Again, I love you as a person, and I don't wish anything bad on you. He even went on to ask the judge, I don't know if it's possible, but can I give her a hug, please? And the pair walked into the middle of the courtroom, and they embraced at length. They hugged once, twice, and a third time, speaking quietly to one another in front of the judge as the security guard and the attorneys stood at close proximity. Geiger showed visible emotion and sobs could be heard in the courtroom as she was being embraced. The defense attorney later called it an amazing moment and that he had never seen anything like that. When he began to ask the judge if he could hug her, the judge was saying, yes, yes, yes. Another attorney had said, I can't talk about it without getting choked up. For all the love and grace that's come out of this, to get here, to get to this point, is amazing. From a few people just showing grace. The victim's sister, Beth Ann, had expressed grace in her own statement on the witness stand, saying, we have no room for hate, so we have to forgive. Her brother had just been shot in his house. Botham was described as a young man with love for everything and everyone. The judge had encouraged the police officer to read her Bible, saying, this is your job for the next month. Mercy and grace. And the story of Jonah is an unusual story with unusual characters, an unwilling witness, a giant fish, an evil nation. But it is a story of God's mercy and God's ability to use anyone for his glory. This is from an article in the Basilica Insider. It begins with Jonah's unwillingness. A Hebrew prophet living during the region of Jeroboam II, Jonah was visited by the Lord. Imagine being visited by the Lord. And the Lord had asked him to go to Nineveh. But Jonah disobeyed. He was scared to go there. And so he jumped on a ship that was heading to Tarshish, a city in the exact opposite direction of where the Lord had been asking him to go. A massive storm had come up and overtaken the ship, causing the crew to cast lots to discover who was to blame. And the lot fell on Jonah. And then he confessed that he was running from the Lord. And the workers on the ship threw Jonah overboard. Instead of allowing Jonah to drown, the Lord, in his mercy, caused a giant fish to swallow him up. For 3 days, Jonah was trapped in the belly of the fish, where he prayed to the Lord. The fish then spat him out on land, and Jonah traveled to Nineveh as God had commanded. Nineveh's reaction. In Nineveh, Jonah proclaimed that the city would be overthrown, and to his surprise, the people of Nineveh repented. Seeing how they turned from their evil ways, God relented from judgment. He forgave them. One might expect Jonah to be happy that Nineveh turned from its wickedness, but he was angry when he learned that God was not going to destroy Nineveh. Jonah 4, verses 2 through 4. He prayed to the Lord, "O Lord, is it not what I said while I was still in my own country? This is why I fled at first toward Tarshish. I knew that you are a gracious and merciful God, slow to anger, abounding in kindness, repenting of punishment. So now, Lord, please take my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live." But the Lord asked, "Are you right to be angry?" Jonah marched east of the city and sat and waited for it to be destroyed. He was showing his selfishness. The Lord sent a plant to bring him shade and then killed it the next day. When Jonah responded in anger, the Lord reprimanded him. But God said to Jonah, "Do you have a right to be angry over the gourd plant?" And Jonah answered, "I have a right to be angry, angry enough to die." And then the Lord said, "You are concerned over the gourd plant, which cost you no effort and which you did not grow. It came up in one night, and in one night it perished. And should I not be concerned over the great city of Nineveh, in which there are more than 120,000 persons who cannot know their right hand from their left, not to mention all the animals?" With that, the book of Jonah ends. Though it may seem strange and abrupt, the ending summarizes what is at the heart of the small Old Testament book: God's mercy. Jonah had reacted in anger, and he wanted revenge. Nineveh was a part of Assyria, a violent pagan nation known for torturing its enemies. And Jonah only wanted God's mercy for Israel, not its enemies. But God is rich in mercy and will save all who call on him. As he had mercy on the evil people of Nineveh, he is merciful to us. Psalms 145:8 reads, "The Lord is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and abounding in mercy." Though Jonah couldn't see it, throughout each step of his journey, he was a willing recipient of God's small mercies. The Lord saved him from drowning. He protected him as he preached to those in Nineveh, and he grew a plant for him so that he would not die of heat stroke. And yet Jonah was unwilling to show the same mercy to the people of Nineveh. When the plant died and Jonah became angry, God revealed how hard Jonas's heart was. The story of Jonah also displays God's sovereignty. Although Jonah was an unwilling preacher, he could not thwart God's plan. God still used him to proclaim his truth. We can take comfort in the fact that no matter what mistakes we make, we are in no way powerful enough to spoil God's plan. Most importantly, Jonah's imperfect example of 3 days spent in the belly of the fish foreshadows the perfect sacrifice that was to come, as Jesus says in Matthew 12:40. "Just as Jonah was in the belly of the whale 3 days and three nights, so will the Son of Man be in the heart of the earth 3 days and three nights." We can learn from Jonah's mistakes. We are not to view ourselves as better than those who are different from us. Instead, practice seeing God in everyone. Sinners in need of a Savior, just like us. We should be eager to share his gospel with others so that they may understand the power, the love, and the mercy of our Lord. Psalm 103:8, the Lord is compassionate and merciful, slow to get angry, and filled with unfailing love. We wait patiently for God's light to burst through the dark. Keep your eyes and ears open as we prepare for the Lord's coming. This world is in need of a change. Like the crooked paths and the rough places, we need God's mercy to transform each of us. We live in the shadows of greed and apathy and prejudice and name-calling. May we receive God's merciful love so that we may be free to serve and worship in the Spirit of God and in his truth. We are to be quick to forgive, quick to extend kindness and generousness. Even when others don't deserve it, may the Lord bless each of us with more love, more hope, more peace, and more joy as we come closer to celebrating the birth of our Lord. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, may we be stirred by the lighting of the Advent candles in our hearts and minds. Prepare our hearts and minds for the coming of the Lord. As Christmas approaches, may we be more willing to share the gospel with others. We thank you, Lord, for your mercy, for your love, for the small gifts that you have given to each of us. We thank you for this church. We thank you for this community. We thank you for the ability to reach others and share with others about your love. Bless us all this week with happy hearts. In your name, amen.